Let's just worship the Lord this morning, church. Told the Lord that I was going to do this year was I was going to step out in faith more. If you're down at the altar, just go ahead and stay down here because we're not finished yet. Before God spoke to us in tongues interpretation, I felt something in my spirit. And when God spoke to us, he confirmed that. You see, as I look across this crowd this morning, we're all people that come here. We all have things inside. We all have hurts. We have frustrations. We come in and we feel such a powerful presence of the Lord. You may feel like, well, I'm the only one that's dealing with the problems that I'm dealing with. If you would allow me just to be family here this morning, I look out across this congregation and I look over and I see Brother and Sister Huber. Sister Huber's struggled for years with her health. Yet she's here worshiping God, lifting his name up. What a beautiful name it is, Sister Huber. What a beautiful name. I could go across this congregation and I could look and I can see individuals, I can see people that they've come in, and sometimes we think we're the only one that grew up without a father, but Brother Scott, who leads us in worship, service after service, his father passed away when he was 10 years old. Scott grew up without a dad. Struggled through those teenage years of his life. And sometimes we think that I'm the only one that's suffering from what I'm suffering from. Nobody else here is going to understand how many days, how many weeks, how many months I've sat in jail. But I don't want to embarrass my brother Roberto, but brother Roberto has been in and out of jail most of his teenage life, and God has performed a miracle in his life. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name, brother Roberto. Sister Rosalind over here just a week ago or so lost her house in a fire, lost everything. Here she is on a Sunday morning worshiping the Lord. What a beautiful name it is that we worship the name of Jesus. Our newest sister just baptized the last day of the year here, worshiping God with us, with difficult circumstances and a difficult past, but she's here worshiping God. What a beautiful, beautiful name that it is. Let's sing that song again. What a beautiful name it is.
Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. Beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
I go up and I see my brother and sister Carter stepping out in ministry at Revival Ridge. You say, where are you going with all of this morning, Pastor? Listen, we serve such an awesome God. And he's here this morning, raising a son that's autistic. Sister Carter, I've talked many times. She's come in tears on how difficult things can be at times. And yet, Sister Carter, what a beautiful name it is. What a lovely name, that Jesus. I could go on, and I don't want to embarrass anyone this morning, and I'm not trying to just put on a show, but I look at brother and sister Gominder that have raised two fragile ex-children. Life hasn't always been easy for John and Patty. I understand. I try to understand, but brother John, what a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. And I come back and I see Sister Rose in a wheelchair. Sister Puckett doesn't even have a hip joint, and she never misses service. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name, Brother Norman. Jesus, isn't that a lovely name? And I look back and Brother Perry back here and has had MS as long as most of you can remember. And we have across Brother Jim had a stroke in Montana. Here they are this morning worshiping. What a beautiful name that it is. What a beautiful name that we worship. I don't know what's going in your life right now. Go ahead and start singing. Talk with a visitor the first time ever here. She stated that she needed a breakthrough. And we sing a song about a breakthrough. If you need something from Jesus this morning, my message can wait. I can preach it tonight. I can. We serve such a beautiful God. And he's here. And he wants to do Sister Shelley. Sister Shelley Weber, come on down, Sister Shelley. Her mother's in the hospital in a coma, I believe. They're not even for sure if she's going to live to the end of today. And here we are living and breathing, and we're going to leave here. We're going to go on with our families. Sister Shelley may lose her mother today. But what a beautiful name, Sister Shelley. The name of Jesus is. He's a comforter. He's a healer. If you need comfort in your life this morning, if you need a healing in your life this morning, I don't care if you're, what is going on. I can't begin to realize and understand all of the needs that are here. Some of you have gone through marriage struggles and divorces, and you've had relatives. We had a sister who her niece was shot and killed just a few weeks ago.
You didn't want heaven without.
If our altar workers can come,
Jesus,
if our saints
heaven.
Of God can gather around.
My sin was great, your love was greater.
We serve such a beautiful God. We serve such a powerful God.
What a wonderful name it is.
God spoke to us and said that he couldn't break through. He couldn't break through because we wouldn't allow him into our lives. I want to encourage you this morning. Let Jesus Christ in. Let him in. Let him in your life.
What a wonderful name it is. The name.
Won't you come and pray this morning? If you see someone in the audience that maybe needs prayer, if you don't feel comfortable coming down to the front, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands where you are and begin to ask God, say, Lord, sometimes we don't even know what to do because circumstances have surrounded us and we don't even know where to go. I just want to encourage you to just lift your hands up this morning. If you're desiring that breakthrough, if you're desiring that to get to that point to where that frustration and that aggravation leaves. I just want to encourage you this morning.
Oh,
Folks that are getting baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we come to church. I know I'm guilty of it. And the only thing we're really thinking about is me. We're thinking about my problem. Lord, what are you going to do about my problem? And we fail to take into account that there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people. Our problem may be small compared to someone else's problem. But I'm just so thankful that no matter what problem we have, no matter what situation that we're faced with, that God doesn't look at our problems based upon His priority. He doesn't look at them based upon priority of the congregation. Well, whose is more important? I can only fulfill three wishes. You know, He's not a genie. You don't have to rub His belly. All you have to do is touch His heart. And you touch His heart by lifting your hands. And you lift your voice. And you begin to thank Him. Aren't you thankful? I'm so thankful for what God has done. I'm so thankful for my brothers and my sisters. And, you know, we're just one big happy family. I think we're on the Chinese menu at about every restaurant. We're a happy family. We're one happy family, and I'm so thankful. We'll be starting a series tonight, and we're titling that series, The Power of a Focused Life. Does life ever just run away from you sometimes? I tell you, life just gets so busy, and we all have this dream. We all have these visions in our life about what we want to do. And not everything has to be God-related. I mean, there were times when, you know, I wanted to start a business, and I was very focused and such. So, you know, when I'm talking about vision and such, I'm not just talking about what God's will is for your life, but what are you doing with your life? What are you going to do with your life? What are your plans to do? And vision needs one thing, and one thing only. And these two work hand in hand. And vision won't happen unless you have focus. And we're going to talk about the power of a focused life. Vision needs focus. We're going to start off part one tonight by this series by staying focused. And I just want to read our passage of Scripture, if I could, and then we're going to worship a little bit more. I'm not going to get any more into it, but Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed. I love how this starts out. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed. You want God's blessing in your life? These three verses right here will explain to you why or why not you're not receiving God's blessings. You could take the rest of the Bible and use just these three verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, what he enjoys is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. Are we soaking this in here? I want you to go home this afternoon, and I want you to ask you this question. If my life isn't being blessed, why is it? And what am I doing wrong? And what do I need? And he, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed. Isn't this awesome? I don't know how you feel. I feel like I could run through a troop, jump over a wall. I need a burrito the size of my head right now. Somebody says, Pastor, you haven't mentioned food much in your messages. You must be fasting. There you go. B&B. Some people look at bed and breakfast. I look at bacon and burritos. And blessings. Blessed is the man. So we're going to start off our series tonight. I'm very excited about this because for years, What I'm bringing out tonight is years of struggle from within. I'm wondering, why is my life the way my life is? But it's not just figuring out why, it's what do I have to do to change it? What do I have to do to change it? So we're starting this tonight, and we'll finish up probably next Sunday morning with that. So if we could just stand before, I know they're trying to put the baptism up there. We don't normally have church like this. But I felt that just that God needed to do something this morning. And I want to encourage the members of Calvary Gospel Church. If you're not a member of Calvary Gospel Church, I still would like to encourage you. We're on a 21-day fast. It's a Daniel's fast. Most of us are on. Some of our men are on a workman's fast where that every other day they will eat, or they will eat one meal a day. It's hard. I worked in construction for 25 years. It's hard working outside all week when you had a week like this past week. I've done it many, many, many week after week, and it gets rough on your body. I just ask that whatever fast that you select, that you stick with that. And God will honor that. God will honor that. But I want you to challenge yourself in this fast. I talk to you, churches, about getting out of our comfort zone. How many of you are asking God to get you out of your comfort zone? Push you out of your comfort zone. I had a couple things happen to me this week I just want to share with you, because you're going to find out anyway. I don't preach out a lot. We have some of our men here, Brother Phil and Brother Shane, Brother Carl, they probably preach out more, Brother Thomas, than I do. And it's not that I don't want to, it's just that I didn't have the opportunity, and it just never happened. I don't begrudge that one bit. I like preaching here. I like our congregation. I like Calvary Gospel Church. I'm comfortable here, okay? I got a call from Brother Hook, which is over our revival commission, and he asked me on our Thursday night of our district or our midwinter camp if I would take the offering up. Now, I thought right away, I thought, offering. Lord, I don't want to take up an offering. I mean, I don't mind taking up offerings, Sister Oliver, but I'm just in front of the district, and there's going to be expectations and how much money needs to be raised. And Brother Hook began to tell me all of the expenses, and I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do? I began to think about ways that I could take up an offering that's unique. And I said, Lord, just whatever. God, I asked you to help get me out of my comfort zone. So I guess if it takes an offering at midwinter camp, then I'll take the offering at midwinter camp. So I delayed calling Brother Hook back, and he called me back again. And finally I called him back, and I said, brother, I'd be delighted to take up the offering at midwinter camp. Inside I was thinking, oh, how many more days do we have before Thursday, the 2nd or 3rd of February? Told my wife about it, and she's like, well, you'll do good. I'm like, well, that's to the offering, honey. Yesterday morning, or that was on Friday, yesterday morning I get a call from Bishop Putnam, our district superintendent. He thanked me for all of the help that our church has put into the campground this year. First he called me and said, I have something of urgency I need to talk with you about. When your district superintendent calls you, usually I'm thinking, that's probably not a good thing, Brother Scott. My mind went to camp. What did I do wrong? That's exactly what I thought. What do you do when your boss calls you, your big boss calls you? So we kind of pleasantries a few minutes, and we're just about to witness a miracle here, folks. This young man, this was his very first time here. This is Sister Anita, Sister Anita's grandson. This is awesome, isn't it? I just want to soak this in. Our story, it's still there. You're hanging in limbo. You're wondering, what in the world? Did he just get baptized already? We missed it? Oh, awesome. So when I talk with Brother Hook tells me the lineup. He said Brother Stone King is going to be there, and he's going through all of this lineup of all these, and I'm thinking, I got to take the offering up with all of these powerhouses there, you know. So then Brother Putnam calls, and he says, we got a problem. And I said, okay. I said, well, what's that? He says, we have our midwinter camp coming. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, I understand Brother Hook's asked you to take the offering. And I'm like, yes. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, Lord, he's going to rescind that offer, and I don't have to take the offering up. Just maybe he's got somebody else or something else planned. That's what I was hoping he was going to say. And he says, I hear you're taking the offering up. He said, I'm really excited about that. But he says, we have a problem, and I need you to help me out with this. And I said, okay. I said, well, what can I help you out with? He said, well, Brother Stone King's not going to be able to make it. And I said, okay. He said, he's got some health issues. He's had some severe nosebleeds. And the doctor won't release him to fly. I said, okay. I said, well, we can pray. Not knowing, you know, what do you want? What am I going to do to help, Brother? He said, well, he says, we're going to have to take and fill in his spot. We're going to have to rearrange our schedule. And I said, okay. I said, well, what are you, I'm thinking, what's he thinking here? He said, well, he said, we'd like for you to fill in for his. He said, we're going to take the conference in a little different direction. And I hung up the phone and I'm like, Lord, you didn't just push me a little bit out of my comfort zone. You drop kicked me through the goalpost of this comfort zone, and he may call and cancel that, but as right now, I get to replace Brother Lee Stone King. I know some of you are going to be disappointed. I was disappointed, too, because I've only actually heard him preach one time. And I was thinking, wow, I get to hear Brother Stone King preach again. And I'm not saying that to brag, folks, okay? I'm very humbled by this. I'm very nervous now. The offering is like, oh, that's simple now. Now what do I preach, you know? But so I'm excited. Continue to pray that I won't become weak in the knees and fall over and pass out and all of that stuff. But God desires. God is desiring. Brother Claude, I love you. Oh, we serve such an awesome God, don't we? I want you to look at the person next to you, and the person next to you is the most awesome person that you will ever meet in your life. I want you to turn around, shake hands with that person. Maybe behind you, if you're one of those loners on the front seat there, Brother Larry. Oh, we haven't dismissed like this in a long time, but God bless you. We love it. Thank you so very much. If there's anything you need, if you still need prayer, feel free to come on down. But God bless. Our children still have about 7 more minutes to go in their classrooms. But God bless you. We'll see you tonight as we start the series, The Power of a Focused Life. God bless you.